live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, Total Tutor. And I'm really excited to welcome the program MTV Challenge legend and TV personality Mark Long. I remember you from Road Rules. Mark, thanks for calling. And, I mean, your resume after that is pretty amazing. How are you?
Oh, yeah. I'm coming in hot from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, my birth city, my man.
We won't get upset about that, being a Pittsburgher. With that whole,
you're a Pittsburgh guy.
Yeah, I'm a Pittsburgh guy, so I'm not gonna kind of, you know, get going on for sure. But Mark, tell us your background right now for who doesn't know who you are, because I mean, again, you were on the MTV, you were hosting the MTV Real World. You've been doing a lot of other things.
I originally started on the premiere season of Road Rules back in 95, and then I jumped on and did MTV Sports with Kit Hoover, who's now on Access Hollywood Live. But from then on, I hosted challenges. I hosted 7 seasons of The After Show. I've been on probably 8 or 9 challenges myself, but also hosted outside of that. I've hosted for Fox Sports. I had a show on Fox Reality Network for 3 years called Reality Remix, where we covered everything in all reality shows. I did stuff for the Donnie Marie Show, the Lisa Rinna Show, anything you could think of that they needed a host. I was always plugged in and just delivered whatever the topic was. I did stuff for CBS Sports. Right now I do stuff with TV Guide Network. I do their countdown specials, which is a 25 countdown of the biggest, best, whatever's going on in Hollywood. So it's kind of cool.
Well, Mark, and you didn't start out like that. You didn't start out as this great host, you know, that can be able to have this process. Because again, from doing Road Rules and stuff like that, did you have that background before that, or were you always?
Well, I went to college at the University of Florida, and I graduated with a broadcast journalism degree. So I always want, believe it or not, I wanted to be a weatherman back in the day. I wanted to kind of take the David Letterman route. So I always wanted to be a host in some sort of capacity, and this was just the perfect kind of springboard, because it allowed me just to meet so many people and travel so across the country. And now with my product, it gets me traveling all over. And like I said, I got 2 appearances coming up this weekend. One is in Cherry Hill at the Wegmans, which I met with Wegmans last year. I've never seen this grocery store. Wow, this place is like Disney World. So I'll be at the Wegmans on Saturday on Route 70 in Cherry Hill from 11 to 3, and then in Ocean, New Jersey at the Wegmans from 12 to 3. So I'm super excited about that. But yeah, hosting has let me travel all over. It let me kind of polish my skills, and it's great because you never know what you're going to do next.
And that's what's so interesting. So tell us the product you're going to be promoting, and then we might get in some other questions for sure. But I'm interested in, especially because you are in very good shape. So you definitely speak to the challenge of Road Rules in so many ways. But tell me specifically what you're going to be doing over in Jersey.
Well, I launched a product that's called Pocket Protein. You can check it out at pocketprotein.com. We're also in Wegmans. We're in ShopRite, Bed Bath & Beyond, Harmon Faith Value. So it's 2-ounce foil packs, and it's pure liquid protein. The blue pack is 20 grams. The pink pack is 15. It's fat-free, carb-free, sugar-free, lactose-free, and gluten-free. So unlike the bars and the shakes that you got to carry around, shakers and the bars that melt and they're packed with all the excess garbage to keep you full, we eliminated all the stuff that's bad for you. Only give me the protein. It doesn't need refrigeration. You can take them on planes. You can throw them anywhere and bring them. It's the perfect portable protein when you're in a bind, because I've always said when you leave the house, carbs and fats are easy to get. The protein is always the hardest, and we want to make it simple. And trust me, I've been in the jungles of the Dominican Republic on these challenges and got thrown a banana. And I've been like, guys, I need more than this to survive today. So people brought them down to challenges. I know some of them had them on the challenge, which is going to premiere April 10th on MTV. So I just thought it was the perfect little add-on supplement to any type of people's diets when they're in a bind and getting their protein.
So you see a lot of times when, you know, people are hungry and they eat the wrong things, getting protein's one of the most difficult things, isn't it, Mark? You can always grab
Absolutely.
Carbs. Carbs are everywhere.
Yeah. And one of the things is here's what a lot of people cheat. When you have to eat that lunch, and there's that 5-hour period before lunch and when you go home and make your sensible meal, people grab for the complex carbs and the potato chips and all the fats because they're hungry and they want that initial, you know, quick fix. Well, protein actually keeps you fuller longer. So we say when you're feeling like that, take a pocket protein. It'll curb your appetite so you get home and make a sensible meal, and you're not going to sit there and pound all these things with sugars and salts and just become a fat slob at work. So we say there's a solution for everything.
Well, absolutely. And how cool is it in a lot of ways getting able to travel and now promoting this product and people remembering you from back in the for all the different TV shows you're on? Especially, I'm sure that they remember you because of the reality star thing. Everyone remembers some of your antics, right?
And I think that's one of the things that plays in a positive way for me when I do the travels now for the product is I wasn't really an actor. A lot of people just knew me as myself, and I'm very approachable. I was never, you know, portrayed as the a-hole on the show. I was always a pretty cool guy. I was always pretty reasonable. So when I do these appearances, people come out, and you know, it's fun to see that they approach me like they've known me, even though I haven't seen them before. So I think that's always a good repertoire to have with your fans when they kind of know you for yourself rather than a character that you play on TV. And, yeah, it definitely lets me travel. It's not like I'm going around, you know, promoting a shampoo. I mean, protein is a lifestyle. It shows activity. It shows, you know, all the stuff that I came from being a challenger on these shows. It fit into my wheelhouse perfectly. And like I said, I'm not just the face of it. I'm a founder. We developed the product together with doctors and chemists. So I'm not just the face of it. It took me 4 years to develop it. So we're super excited.
Oh, wow. So this is the difference is that you're not just a celebrity. They said, go pitch this. You are involved.
Exactly.
You're firsthand looking at how they're creating this, making sure that if you're going to endorse a product, it's your product. And that's
the right. And my, believe it or not, a great story is my partner and I sketched out a temporary picture of what we wanted the bottle or the foil pack to look like 4 years ago on a plane when we were traveling because we're stuck on a plane. And of course, they throw pretzels at you and think that's going to keep you full for 5 hours. But we said there's got to be an easier way. There's got to be a way to bring this on when we travel. And literally, I was there every step of the way. I made all the decisions. If you see the foil pack, everything in that foil pack was designed by myself and my group. So it wasn't like I'm the face just saying, yeah, take this. I started it from the very beginning, and it's so cool to walk into these stores like Wegmans and ShopRite and see us on the aisle. Like, I never thought in a million years I'd have a product in retail.
So, and that's the goal of an entrepreneur. And I guess when you were growing up, you didn't think you'd be an entrepreneur, right, Mark? You were more looking at...
No, I mean, like I said, I would have been happy being a weatherman and, you know, maybe having some spinoff stuff on the side. But, I mean, just the opportunity that MTV and Buna Murray, the production company, allowed to me, I mean, it really... If I sit here and listen to the place that I've shot and gone to internationally around the world, I mean, my parents haven't been to a third of these places that I've been to, and it's just such a blessing because, I mean, when you know you're getting ready to go shoot, it's not like you're going to go shoot in Provo, Utah, which I'm sure is beautiful. I mean, we get to go to, you know, the Dominican Republic, New Zealand, the island of Dominica. I mean, just crazy stuff that you probably, some of people never even heard of.
That's so true. And they've never heard of it. They don't know what's going on. They can learn so much about this. And so let's go right into the product a little bit more, but I have some more questions regarding some of the other stuff you're doing for your fans out there, because I'm sure they're excited to hear from you, especially the ones that reality show fans are the greatest because they never forget reality shows. I mean,
no way.
Especially if the ones that were groundbreaking. Road Rules was groundbreaking, trust me, because it was one that was unlike anything else at that time. MTV has really created so many different things. So I want to go into that in a second. But looking at the product, the question I have about the product is it used more as a meal replacement or is it used more as just a protein replacement at certain times of the day? When do you use it? When do you think is the optimum time? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a perfect question because, and the great answer is when I talk to people on these tours is I say that we can be a part of your lifestyle, whatever your lifestyle is. And here's the thing. If you want to put on muscle, we recommend taking pocket protein within 20 minutes right after you work out because your body needs that fuel after you break down your muscles. It helps repair and rebuild muscle. So it's perfect for that. You can take 2-3 a day, whatever your protein intake that you want to supplement is. But if you're someone that's a little overweight and you want to drop the pounds, we say take it 2 pocket proteins a day to keep the hunger away because protein absolutely scientifically proven to keep you fuller longer. So if you're not hungry, you're going to take in less calories, and you'll drop the weight easily without sitting there on some crazy diet that people have planned out, because it's real simple. If you're not hungry, you're not going to eat as much. So however your lifestyle and whatever your goals are, we can plug in kind of like a five-tool baseball player. However you need us, we go in. If you want us to play third base, we'll play third base. If you need us at right field, we'll go to right field. But at the bottom line is, as soon as you leave the house, protein is the hardest to come by, because not everyone wants to go to a fast food place and get a, you know, an $8 salty chicken sandwich. But they want the protein. That's why they do it.
That's so true. And at times you just want to just keep going. Like I, as an entrepreneur, I'll be going from one place to the other, going from radio to tutoring and consulting. Like I'm going to be right off the air right now, just jumping. I'll be in someone's house tutoring somebody in 15 minutes. So that's the wild thing about recording everything in radio. And I'd love to grab something. Guess what I'm going to grab? And I'm going to be honest, a Pop-Tart. And, you know, that is going to be the best thing to keep my energy going till 8:30 at night tonight. And then back on the radio tonight at 11 o'clock. So definitely a product that's not like any other product.
You just said you're a perfect candidate for it as well. And I mean, a lot of people, when they're driving around, if you're a busy soccer mom and you don't have time to stop, you don't want to drive around with shakers and powders and mixes and blenders, all that in your car. You want something simple you can take. It literally is 2 ounces. You pop it, it's gone in 2 seconds, and you're on your way. But you know you got that 15 or 20 grams of pure protein, which is what you're looking for anyway.
All right, so I know, give us the two spots for this weekend, and then some people that are going to be listening, this is going to hit syndication on many other channels throughout the week, so that if you have other places you're planning on traveling to, definitely tell our international audience all about that, but specifically the two places to plug for this weekend.
Perfect. We're going to be at Aviat Wegmans in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, this Saturday, 2100 Route 70 West. I'll be there from 11 to 3. And then Wegmans in Ocean, New Jersey, which is 1104 Highway 35. I'll be there from 12 to 3. And we're also going to be doing a big May. We're also in HEB, which is a huge chain in Texas. I'm going to be doing a huge May HEB tour. So just keep, follow me on Twitter at The Mark Long, or same as Instagram, The Mark Long, and I'll be posting all these appearances at one time.
So, Mark, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to kind of have you back on the show to promote Texas, okay? And we're going to have to keep this relationship going for sure.
Like I said, the new challenge starts April 10th. We can even chat a little bit about that once that gets going, because it's going to be a doozy. It's a new format. Very exciting.
Are you pumped up to be back on MTV for this? I'm sure you are.
Well, I'm not competing this year, but I will show up on the after show, giving my 2 cents of what I think of some of these new kids, which, to be honest with you, a lot of them are a little cocky, my man. A lot of them think they're a little too big for their britches already, and they've been on like one or two shows. So I might even have to come out of retirement and go back and whip some ass. I'll be honest with you.
So that could definitely happen. So we heard it first from Mark right here that he might be back. It sounds like pro wrestling, and I didn't tell you, Mark, I was a former professional wrestler. So I could see that.
Then we should make this. This is an exclusive. You heard it here first. I'm going to watch this series. If I need to come back and regulate these youngsters, consider this my unretiring right now on this show.
Oh, wow. Okay. And that's really exciting again. So we could check it all out at a couple places. First, we can go to your Twitter and your Facebook, and then also for information on the product. Is that the best place to go?
Yeah, my Twitter at TheMarkLong, same as my Instagram, Mark Long on Facebook. And if you want to check out anything, you can do promo code Mark on the website, pocketprotein.com, and get 10% off. So if you want to give it a shot and give it a try, go to the website or go to Wegmans, ShopRite, HEB, or Bed Bath & Beyond.
Well, we're going to have to, after the first airing of the show, have you back on in April to talk about some of the updates, and then also and also promote Texas. So best of luck to you.
We can break down the cast. Oh, we can break down the cast if you want.
I would love to do that. Fantastic. So good talking to you, Mark, and we'll stay in touch, okay?
All right, my man. I'll see you later. Thanks for calling.
All right, take care. All right, you're listening to the Toll Education Celebrity Show on the Toll Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Toltucation Celebrity Show on the Toltucation Network again. TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor. Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, TotalTutor. And always when we have NFL stars on the program, I really enjoy it. And I was a huge fan of the Eagles when Fred played for them. Randall Cunningham I've had on the show, and that was one of my favorite tandems for sure. So I want to welcome the program former Philadelphia Eagle Pro Bowler Fred Barnett. Fred, how are you?
Great. How are you? Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. It's always fun when it starts to warm up after we've dealt with such cold weather, both of us, and knowing living in Philly and Pittsburgh, how it's just been a rough winter. Ready for spring, I'm sure, and I'm sure you are as well.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes. I think everybody's ready for spring.
Absolutely. Okay, so, Fred, tell us a little bit about your background, and then we'll get right into talking about life after football.
Oh, gosh, a little bit about me. I'm actually born and raised in Mississippi, and very fortunate to get one scholarship to Arkansas State and play 4 years there and go on to play in the NFL for 8 years. There at Arkansas State, did pretty well. I guess good enough to be a third-round draft choice, being a wide receiver in a wishbone offense. So after getting drafted and to the Philadelphia Eagles, played with the Eagles for 6 years and went on to the Dolphins as a free agent, played there for 2 years. And actually one of the greatest experiences I've, you know, ever had, with just, you know, being around NFL players. Some players, interestingly, that I watched when I was in college and even in high school, getting to play with guys like Reggie White, Jerome Brown, and even playing against guys that I had watched and admired. It was just kind of surreal for me, just being out on the field. But I managed to make a pretty good adjustment on the field and you know, had the athletic ability to play at the NFL level and even go to the Pro Bowl. So it was a great experience for me, as I mentioned. And it's something that I'm very fond of. I oftentimes get my daughters. I have twin daughters that are 13. I have a young son that's two. Have them. I actually make them watch my film. They don't want to watch me play football. although one of them is a pretty good athlete. She's a lacrosse player and a volleyball player, and she's actually on the varsity team as an eighth grader. So it's pretty encouraging just to kind of, you know, see her do her thing and you know, kind of make me reminisce as I was a young kid growing up playing football in the backyard. But after retiring, I, you know, opened a couple of businesses, and I was kind of fortunate to be able to be focused on what I wanted to do. You know, I had my ups and downs. As far as, you know, starting a business, having to, you know, just kind of refocus and, you know, shut down a business, start a business. So it's been a very interesting life after football. As I mentioned, I'm very fortunate. I have a lovely wife and three kids, and life has been pretty positive for me. I've been on the side of being supportive of retired players in terms of, you know, concussion case and publicity rights case. And so it's been a very, very, very busy retirement for me, but it's been a joyous one.
Okay, so Fred, we'll jump back into life after football. I mean, once the cheering stopped and you had to go ahead and get into a career, you're in a phase that's a little different than your brethren in the 80s. They had really, yeah, the money started getting a little bit better, not to the point of what it is today, but you were in a transition phase in the way contracts are developed and people are starting to make a little bit more money. So more and more it became, there was not time for off-season businesses and stuff like that. Were you in that process as a lot of the guys I've interviewed in the 80s that had that like even Leonard Marshall did, Andy Russell did, many people 70s that Rocky Blyer, that had a process that said, okay, I know what I'm going to do after football when you were playing?
You know what? I had an idea. I hadn't really mapped out a process yet. Because, interestingly, that's a great question, a great statement, because I think a lot of times there are a number of guys who, you know, their retirement comes by surprise. And it was, to some degree, that way with me. I knew exactly that I wanted to do some business. I wanted to, you know, have some stores or you know, do something with my money. But I think that... I wanted to play a little longer, but after just kind of taking a few days after I got released by the Dolphins to think about it, I was mentally drained. I was physically drained, and I made a decision to go ahead and retire. I actually got an offer from another team to come and try out, but. I was just mentally and physically drained, and it took probably about a year for me to just kind of regroup and refocus, and ended up actually starting opening up three small chain stores there in the Fort Lauderdale Western area. But that's a very interesting comment that you made, because. As we go through all these different suits, lawsuits, the claims that players have, as you know, we got players who have retired just yesterday, and you got players like myself, and you got players from the 70s and the 80s. The interesting thing about it is that we all have a different perspective, because actually the NFL was different when we all played. So you got guys from the 70s and the 80s that are looking at guys from the 90s and wondering why they think the way they think. Well, they played for a different NFL. It was the same NFL, but the mindset was totally different. I mean, you know, there are guys who are playing right now who are not going to see things the way I see them, you know. And it's basically us having a different experience with the NFL, which is, you know, of course, relative to us all.
And I have a feeling where we're going to go. It was very interesting. Leonard touched upon a lot with the head injuries, and I know we're going to get to that for sure. I just am kind of learning about you and that process of starting businesses, because you were a Pro Bowler that played for a very good team, the Eagles. Yeah. You had that celebrity status. So when you retired, you had some money, and then you got people with handouts. And that's one of the things that's probably hardest with these athletes are they come with all this money or some money, and then they want to say, what do I do next? And then they find somebody, as we all know in business, we talk to people and they're like, I wouldn't want to do business with them. But a lot of these guys aren't educated to that fact. Hey, I'll give him my money. Hey, I'll let him run everything, and I can continue to live that athletics lifestyle. And what happens is you got to be so much more hands-on, and it becomes a process. So your first couple businesses, were you a good enough business mind to handle this responsibility of changing from being told what to do, where to show up, to you run the show in a lot of ways, Fred?
Well, I was fortunate to have some good upbringing in Mississippi, so it was to some degree a challenge for me, just getting up in the morning and making sure to register match, you know, the money and everything. So and because it was a cash business, I had to be there every morning. I had to be there at the end of the day, making sure everything was tight. So it was somewhat of a challenge for me, but I managed to hire some good managers. And you know, since then, I've of course moved on. But when I first started it, you know, having three stores, running around to three stores was worse than getting hit on the field, to tell you the truth.
Because, I was going to say, Fred, that you talked about your upbringing. It doesn't matter, you know, we all come understand as workers how to be a worker, how to, you know, carry that, you know, punch a clock or, you know, in the football field, show up certain things, get to your desk job. When you're an entrepreneur, you are in complete control. You're the head coach. Yes. You're the general manager. I think that's hard for any athlete. That's hard for anybody when they first become an entrepreneur in so many ways.
But it depends on if it's in you. But one thing that I am sure about myself is that I'm a leader, and I can motivate. And the only thing that I need to have in place is to know for sure that what I'm teaching and what I'm motivating is something that I stand for and believe in. And if I believe in it, I can get you to believe in it. And that was something that I think really, pushed me to run these stores successfully before I left Florida. So yeah, as you mentioned that, a lot of, everybody's not meant to be a leader. Everybody's not meant to be an entrepreneur, which is why we have, our workforce, which is why, we have people working at, doing small jobs or doing jobs that are not as quote unquote significant as others. There are some guys out there, and even there are some NFL players who have businesses, and they're running their business, and they are in there every day.
Yes.
And the things that they don't know, they're seeking out information and finding out exactly how to run their business better.
And a lot of times, Fred, you learn from your coaches how to be a leader. In a way, the coaches that you've had in your career from college to high school to the pros, they're such great mentors, from the assistants to whatever. You learn leadership as a football player, and you learn about structure and order, because these things need to be done in a business. You got to run a business the same way as you run a sports team. It's got to be a team atmosphere. There's got to be a leader, but there's also got to be people that are able to take on their roles.
I tell you what, that's a great comment, because I often give tribute to my coaching staff at Arkansas State, led by Larry Lacewell. Those guys really were just a cornerstone for me. My father did a great job in raising me, but there's some things that those guys taught me. Here I am 18, 19 years old, and away from home. And these guys taught me so much. And it carried right into being on the field with the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, there are times when I actually told one of my coaches about a month ago. I remember the time when I was a rookie with the Eagles, and I'm we're just kind of going through a walkthrough, and I'm kind of almost full speed, and everybody's looking at me like, why are you full speed? It's just a walkthrough. But I left Arkansas State with the mindset that I had to be the best, every time. And I think that's what's really, pushed me to be the player that I was. And you can actually, and what I actually did is I actually transferred that from the field into the things that I needed to do off the field. So it has brought me this far, I can say.
Well, I absolutely take a tribute a lot, and Fred, you'll kind of laugh, and we're going to take a break from that. I was a pro wrestler for 9 years in the minor leagues, but I learned a lot about promotion through wrestling and being the star. This is like the WWE I'm talking about. And I had that persona, and I learned how to promote myself as the big 7-foot giant, and watched wrestling promoters. And that's how I've been able in business to promote myself. Self-promotion, such a key component. So when we get back, we're going to talk more of Fred Barnett from the Philadelphia Eagles, Pro Bowler, and much, much more going into he leaves Florida. What's his next career step, and what is he doing currently today? You're listening to the Toll Education Celebrity Show on the Toll Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Toll Education Celebrity Show on the Toll Education Network. Again, TollTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TollTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, and also Instagram, Total Tutor. And I'm with Pro Bowler Fred Barnett from the Philadelphia Eagles, and enjoying the conversation as he talks about as an entrepreneur. And Fred, it kind of reminds me of another athlete that I interviewed, Bill Cartwright from the Chicago Bulls. And he talked about how he wakes up at 5 o'clock in the morning to have a successful business. And a lot of times you guys get this rap that you don't have a work ethic. You just know how to do the sport. So if you put, if you change titles, you can't handle it. And that goes back to even when we look at African Americans as coaches and general managers. They look at this and say, well, you know, you were just an athlete. How could you run this type of organization? So it's very good to see the entrepreneurship and the ability to move on to much greater things from football and show that leadership, because it's a great role model, especially in the community as well, to show, hey, I'm not just an athlete. I'm much more, and I had the athletic ability, but I learned everything in my brain to be successful in life. And that's what football led to your life experiences, didn't it, Fred?
Exactly, and unfortunately, I think there are some players, there's a demographic of players out there who can't make the transition.
Yes, there's a lot.
I think a lot of people in the general public kind of sees that and thinks that, you know, it kind of smears on other athletes as well. But, you know, as you mentioned, there are some guys who can't make the transition, you know, who are smart enough and who are focused enough to make a very positive transition for themselves.
So you decide to leave Florida. What's the reason to go back to Pennsylvania, if I'm right on your career path?
Well, I was in Memphis for a bit, for a couple of years, and didn't stay there long. Came right up to Philadelphia after a couple of years, and from that point, actually, I'm pretty fond of fashion, so I decided to start a fashion line. So I started a clothing line. I did a little traveling to Italy. I had a tie maker in Lake Como that I would visit each year, and had some fabric coming out of London, and that was pretty exciting because it allowed me to travel a little bit. Allowed me to see the world and just kind of open my mind up and just understand that the bubble of football and what's around the fame and the fortune, just, you know, it's just in my circle. Life was more than that. So that just kind of opened my mind up a little bit. And after that, after running a clothing line for about a couple of years, I started doing some work with the Eagles. I wasn't on staff, but I was helping out with doing different appearances and different events that they had, and it kind of bled right into where I am right now. It dates me right where I am right now, and that is connected with the company that I'm involved with right now.
All right, so we can go right to that, and there's the reason for the radio interview, but it really gave us a good story of who you are, Fred, as a person, life after football. And the reason I'm speaking of this, and we're hearing so many professional athletes that just absolutely have lost everything after, and they've made much far more money than you made, Fred, because of the how financially things have changed, and they just couldn't handle it. And athletes just literally fall apart. And it was very interesting. Leonard Marshall, I interviewed earlier this week, and he talked about some of the reasons. One is that you guys don't have health care for a long period of time. You're used to a certain, and it's hard to insure you. There's so many different things that make it difficult in that transition. So where are you at now, Fred? Tell us where you're at.
Well, there are some difficult things that make it hard. And you know, unfortunately, as we hear about some of the stories. I mean, I've, you know, just recently heard about a few stories this past year of some players that I know that are, you know, have made bad decisions, that have been, you know, in financial predicaments, that have made them, you know, make a decision that you know, embarrass the league, embarrass themselves, embarrass their families, or what have you. So, you know, it's very unfortunate. But for what I'm doing now, it's interesting. I'm the director of sports for a company called QMe. It's myqme.com. It's the first social media site designed to reward the user, anywhere from small businesses, business professionals, entertainers, athletes, socialites. It's a social media platform, and as you use the platform and connect with people, you get paid for doing that. And as as a director of sports, it's you know, my job to help the ex-athletes give a new definition or a new direction to transitioning. You know, as we just mentioned, there are quite a few athletes that are making very harsh decisions. And to tell you the truth, there's some guys who make good decisions. I think they just kind of connected with the wrong people.
Yes.
So those guys have to rebound. I mean, I've made decisions to do things with my money and got burned. It wasn't on the scale of some other players, but you know, now I think they have the NFL now has departments in place where now we can do background checks. I mean, you meet a guy, he wants to help you out, he wants you to invest some money, you can pick up the phone and say, hey, I want a background check on this guy. And we can get that, and the NFL can do that for us. But my job is to, you know, take the players to another level, get them to understand that they have value in the marketplace. I mean, and how to execute that plan to experience that value by leveraging the relationships they built while they were playing. I can remember after retirement going back to the stadium and just doing some stuff for the Eagles, just meeting all these business people that I had met when I played, and there was really no way to leverage the relationship we had. You know, I could go, you know, how many times can I go to their warehouse and sign autographs? You know, only a few times, and, you know, they don't want to see me walking through the door every other weekend.
Exactly.
But our platform allows me as an athlete, you know, who has some notoriety still in this area, to promote on my profile for companies. There are a few small companies here that I have relationships with, and with me having a following, you know, I could promote their business, their service, their products, or what have you, to my following.
That's fantastic. And I'm sorry to interrupt because I want to sell this for you, Fred. I mean, you and I have to talk off air because of the connections I have with a lot of athletes in all areas to see how they could benefit in those cities for themselves. Because I think this is one thing I've talked about before. There are only certain people have capitalized, Fred, of that 10%, I'd say, in all professional sports after football, after basketball, after whatever sport, and use their celebrity status to help continue to fund them, to continue to have a salary, continue to make money, residual income, while the others didn't allow that and didn't keep that brand going and wanted to forget about, because you're a brand, Fred Barnett. That's always, you will always remember.
Exactly.
That, I mean, honestly, some of the older players are worth more for me on a radio interview than the current players, because people have memories. And again, it's the age group that watched you play. That's the group that invests. That's the group of business. I mean, it's a fantastic idea, Fred. I'm just amazed about it.
Well, we're very excited. You know, and one unfortunate thing about it is such a psychological topic for players, because if you think about players, say about a player who played 10, 15 years, he's gone all that time in the pros and all that time in college getting a direct response. And that is, I have a play, I get a play, I execute that play, there's a response. Either I'm successful or I'm not. I'm successful or not. Season after season after season. And now we get off the field, we're retired, and now we have to make a play. Well, a business play doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
Now you have to understand process. Now you have to understand putting a team together. Now you have to understand networking. Now you have to go out and shake hands. Now you have to go out and find help in different areas to do that. And I think a lot of guys get kind of frustrated and impatient because they have great ideas. I think they have, you know, things that they could do, but it doesn't happen fast enough. And guys kind of, you know, resorting to making, as I mentioned, you know, bad decisions, what have you. But to say the least, that, you know, I think, you know, our website will do a lot for retired athletes and even current athletes. There's some current athletes who are doing it a different way. They have a name. I mean, we got all these social media platforms going. And so they have a following. So they're doing, there's some guys who have products now. They have T-shirts.
Yes.
They have caps. You know, they have different products that they will be able to sell on QME. Just a little bit more about our site, if I may. There, you know, we have an area that's a store. And for players that have any products that they want to push or sell to the public, they'll be able to do that right from their platform.
Wow!
So,
yeah.
And this is all sports. I mean, it's not just football. And this is all sports. And as you mentioned, guys don't realize that they have value.
They truly
do. Some guys walk away from the game and they just disappear and you don't know where they are.
They don't want to talk to anyone, Fred. I reach out to people all the time. I tried to get Mary Lou Loretton on the show. Mary Lou, publicist declined, saying she doesn't do any more media. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
They don't get that they're a brand that can continue to make residual income for life because of what they created on the field.
You're absolutely right.
And I don't know if you have any pro wrestlers, but that's another definite genre that retired, that have a platform and don't utilize it right either. You know, they were stars in WWE or WCW or ECW, and they're just basically hitting minor league after minor league, trying to sell their hats and shirts and different things. And the Olympians, my gosh, Fred, they have a following, yet they kind of go to obscurity as well because they don't know how to brand themselves. That's really
exactly true. Yeah, my QME is designed just to do that, and we launched a few days ago, and we're very excited to get some players involved. I have a database of about 8,000 players, so we're going to be reaching out to those players in the next few days and getting everybody on board, and you know, getting companies on board and getting socialites on board and making it happen.
Well,
one other thing about our website is that, you know, although it's a social media site, we're not in competition of Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. The one thing about our site is that you can connect your social through QME. So whatever you post on QME, if you connect it goes right to Facebook. So it behooves you as someone who's on Facebook and have a following to connect that social, because it connects. If you got, say, 5,000 people on Facebook, you know, 5,000 on LinkedIn, 5,000 on Twitter, well, that means you have 15,000 on QME because you're bringing all those people together.
See that?
So we're very excited about it.
I'm excited about it, and I hope that you and I can have some conversations off air. I mean, I interview athletes all the time, and I know you have a huge database, but I'd love to connect you to other athletes as well. And
I would love to.
That'd
be great.
We definitely have to have a conversation. That's the whole business part of the show as well, in a lot of ways, is because I see that by myself having this platform of this radio network, it's all about creating relationships. You help grow your business, but you also get other entrepreneurial opportunities, and that's what's so great about interviewing people about their brand. I love selling them about that. So Fred, basically, let's just say I am not an athlete. Well, I am an athlete, but you know, if I was a business, my company Total Tutor said I want to connect in the Pittsburgh area with some of the big stars to start promoting my tutoring company. What do I do as the business to be connected to those athletes? Is that part of how the social media works?
Well, what you do is, first of all, you go on, you create a profile, and once you create a profile, you'll be able to find people who have signed up, that are interested in what you're promoting. And just, I guess, to explain it, when I sign up, there are different things that I check off that I'm interested in. And when I check off certain things that I'm interested in, when companies come on, they'll be able to find exactly the people that are interested in what the things that they're promoting. So you'll be able to reach out to your demographic, the bullseye demographic, to those people who are interested in what you want now and what you want to sell. Now, with that, you will be able to reward those users for telling other people about the products that you have, about the services that you have. So that's that takes it actually to another level.
Well, there's definitely, we need to have you back on, Fred, and then maybe have some of your other athletes that you've signed up to the platform that had success. And I'd love to have you on to do that, and you could be on with that athlete, and we could promote what they're doing. So I want this to be a continual thing. So I'll reach out to your publicist, but I'll also get your contact information so we can continue this conversation. So stay on the line after I say goodbye. But where can we find information on you, Fred? You have the website for the company, but you probably have some other places where people can find you as well, right, Fred?
Yes. Well, if you could find me at myqme.com. I'm there. I'm ready to ask any questions, do any appearances or, just socialize. If you go to myqme.com and sign up, you can find me there.
Well, I think it's a fantastic idea, Fred, and I would say this would be a great idea to go to the Shark Tank with as well, because because I think this is just something that people love athletes. They just, yeah, they're heroes of them, and a lot of them just go to obscurity, and you're like, what are they promoting? They're missing out, and I think that this is a platform to help businesses find people to promote their products, and also for athletes to make residual income based on their star status. Great idea, Fred. Good talking to you. And they're going to connect to you at that website. So take care, and we're going to talk soon, okay?
I appreciate it.
All right. You're listening to the Toll Education Celebrity Show on the Toll Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Author's Corner on the Toll Education Network. Again, tolltutor.net for more information. Twitter, tolltutor. Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. And I tell you, and also Instagram, tolltutor. And I'm always excited about Author's Corner. And it just seems like every author has a story. And I love to hear about authors that started in something else and have found that it is their labor or love, and they have success, and they see that there's different mediums for them, for sure. So I want to welcome the program Shirley Washington, Emmy Award-winning television news anchor, and also author of The Diary, and you're recognized for something else as well. Shirley, thanks for calling.
Thank you so much for having me, Neil. I'm excited.
I'm excited to talk to you as well. And Shirley, tell us a little bit about your background. Then we're going to go into, I guess, what we were talking about off air, because I think that's really cool as well. But first of all, your background, and then we'll get right into the book.
Yes, I am a television news reporter and an anchor in St. Louis, Missouri. I've been in television news for about 25 years. I've had a wonderful career. I've been blessed to be able to interview some of the world's movers and shakers, and to travel across the country and live in some exciting cities, Atlanta and Dallas and Nashville and St. Louis, and to have my work appear on some of the major networks, Fox, CNN, and ABC. And it's just been a joy. And one of the beautiful things about being a journalist is that you learn so much every day, and you are on the front pages of history, really, and you're writing history, and it's so important to be accurate in your reporting, because it is a record, and it is a record of history, and it's just so neat to be able to meet so many wonderful people. And I have to tell you, Neil, some of the most amazing people that I've met are not the people that are on the national stages, not the presidents or the politicians, but they are the people who work and live in our communities every day who are making a difference. I was just talking about, maybe about an hour or two ago, I was talking with a young man who actually works with people in the homeless community and how he helps to feed them and provide clothing and to find them jobs and to find them homes. And I just think that's a beautiful thing when you have people out in the community who are helping others to brighten their lives and to better their lives.
And that's so true, Shirley. Some of my best interviews are the ones that, I've interviewed lots of celebrities, and not to the extent of you, but I'm getting there. For sure, in my short career in radio, about 4 years, the most interesting people a lot of times are the stories, and also the people that don't have that celebrity status, don't have that, that title that makes them who they are. And you get to tell their stories where they would not have the platform if it wasn't for your television, right? Correct? That's what's so nice about it, for sure.
Right, and I think you're absolutely right, and it's so amazing when you tell those stories, how many touch other people. We did a story a couple of weeks ago about severe weather and how people who have certain disabilities are impacted by severe weather. People who are hearing impaired or visually impaired, how sometimes they don't get the warnings or sometimes they need the warnings really, really soon so that they can figure out how to get to shelter. And these are things that we really don't think about, those of us who don't have any type of impairments. But I tell you, when that story aired, we were inundated with phone calls and emails from viewers who admitted, as much as I did, I have to admit, that I hadn't given it a second thought. And they hadn't given it a second thought either. You know, what these people go through.
Exactly.
And it was just really incredible.
And it's amazing how we learn things as journalists. And I cover lots of education. That's how I started in radio and my own radio network, and then basically came into more celebrity and author interviews. But it's amazing to hear the stories that just don't go on the front page. And then what you do as an anchor is say, I'm going to dig into things that, you know, might not be in the newspapers, that they need this story, and we have the platform, which is in television. And you see now your new platform, for sure, is books, and then, you know, you become an author, and your whole life has been in TV, and you get recognized, and we're talking about that the Motherhood Club was selected by a legendary television talk show host, Sally Jesse Raphael, and that must have been unbelievable when that happened, right?
It really, really was, Neil. I have to tell you, the Motherhood Club, Help, Hope, and Inspiration for New Mothers, from New Mothers, was the first book that I wrote, and it was co-written by Dr. Ann Dunwald, who's a clinical psychologist in Dallas, Texas. And what we were trying to do with the book was to help new mothers settle into motherhood, because you go through so many different changes when you become a mother.
Yes.
There are psychological changes, there are physical changes, of course, there are emotional changes, and a lot of times these are things that most of us we don't talk about, you know, not publicly anyway. We may talk, you know, as mothers within ourselves, within our own circle. But we wanted to put this out there so that we could help new mothers. And the beautiful thing about it was these were all first-time mothers who shared some of the challenges that they experienced as they settled into their greatest role as mother. And they shared their experiences with other first-time moms. And I think that connected with Sally Jesse Raphael, because at the time the book came out, I believe it was her daughter or her daughter-in-law, I don't quite remember, but I believe it was her daughter, was actually a new mom. And she was talking with Sally about some of the challenges that she was facing. And I think my book somehow ended up in Sally's hands, and she just loved it. I mean, I was absolutely floored when my editor called and told me that Sally Jesse Raphael had selected the book to be in her Red Eyeglass series. I mean, you could have knocked me over with a feather. Yeah. I mean, I was so blown away and just so deeply humbled and just so honored that this legendary journalist, television personality, had selected my book to be a part of her Red Eyeglass series. And I have to tell you, as a child growing up in St. Louis, I used to watch the Sally Jesse Raphael show, because it actually started in St. Louis at KSDK, which is the NBC affiliate here in St. Louis. And I used to watch your show. And so I was just honored, just completely honored and completely humbled by it. And I am just so grateful.
I mean, it would definitely be for me, especially if I was in that field, and saying, wow, to be honored like that is amazing. And it really gave you that kickstart to say, I got to start cranking out more books, right? This is going to be a profession of mine as well. I thought, you know, this is a labor of love, and now it's getting some good reviews. It's time to keep writing. And that's where we come today, right? Exactly, talking about the diary. So tell us why you wrote the diary.
Well, the diary is the story of a devoted husband who finds his wife's diary and then uses it to secretively plan a surprise for her in honor of their 10-year wedding anniversary. And he ends up fighting to save his marriage amid allegations of deceit, betrayal, and infidelity.
Wow.
But the reason that I wanted to write the diary, Neil, is because I think it presents a beautiful story of what family is and what family can be when it is rooted in forgiveness and reconciliation, and when there is a healthy, loving dynamic to it. And I want it to present a positive story about family, and this one is.
And that's interesting when you gave the summary, and I'm reading it right now, that there's still some drama in this for sure, because I mean, the husband's thinking of his love and then finding, and then basically there's allegations, and that can tear a family. But what makes this family stay together through the difficulties? What do you think was the power point of this, of the story, that kind of keeps that family glued together?
I think it's faith. I think it's love of family. I think it's believing. I think is having a bond that's unbreakable. And when you think about it, that's what family is. And from my perspective, there's nothing more important than a loving, healthy family. I mean, the relationship that you have with your spouse, the relationship that you have with your children, those are vitally important, because I believe they help to shape who we are and who we become. And there's so much that we learn from our families.
Yes.
I mean, we, among other things, we learn our morals and our values. We learn how to relate to others. We learn how to treat others. We learn how to set goals. We learn how to be good citizens. And the list goes on and on and on. And all of that comes back to family.
So true. And think about, and I always like talking about hearing your background, Shirley, because it shows where the kind of your writing style goes. And you're looking at specifically a lot of family, which is covered in television all the time. But there's a lot of deceit. There's a lot of betrayal. And there's a lot of infidelity at times during your broadcast and what you cover and different things. So that gave a lot of the creative end of this, right? Your ability to write is because of how much you have dealt with as a reporter. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely, Neil. And I have to tell you, as a reporter, we see families at their highest points. We see families at their lowest points, and all between. I mean, I can't tell you how heartbreaking it is to go to interview the mom who has lost her son or her daughter,
yes,
to violence, or vice versa.
Definitely.
You know, and you,
yeah,
have to talk about that hurt and that pain. And it runs deeply, and it cuts deeply. And as a journalist, it sticks with you for a while. You know, I tell my husband all the time, he is a computer engineer. I said, when you leave the office, you leave all of your tools in your desk or on your desk or what have you. But because we deal with people as journalists, it is emotional. There is an emotional connection. Now, don't misunderstand. We are objective. But because we are human beings, there is a connection. You feel that pain when that mother cries.
Absolutely,
over the loss of,
yes,
her child. You feel that pain when that son or daughter loses a mother or a child. You feel that. I mean, you can't be human if you don't feel that. When you look across the world and you see all of the issues, all of the stories that are taking place, because we are people, because we are human beings, you are connected to that. At least I am. You do feel a sense of connection, but you also have to remember you are professionals. You are journalists. You have to do your job.
See, and that's so interesting what you do as a local reporter compared to the national, where they have to sensationalize things a little bit too much. People that tune into your program every day are wanting to hear this true stories. They want to hear the average everyday people. And that's what I think makes the nightly news and the daily news go so well, is because really it's about real people. It's not about the sensationalism that we see on, you know, broadcast on cable television nowadays, and where we're really not covering anything except pretty much the world events and national events that are interesting to everyone. We hear the real stories, which you talked about at the beginning of the show, and the diary takes a lot of those ideas into play. And I'm definitely going to have you on for the Motherhood Club, if you don't mind. And so I hope you'd like to come back on next month to come back and talk about it, especially, I said, when I'm a father of five, and my wife is, we just had our baby 9 weeks ago, and we know how difficult it is about mothers and the trials and tribulations they go through on an everyday basis. So I'd love to talk to you about that and continue to help promote your latest book.
I would love to come back. Thank you so much. I would love that.
Because there's not enough time to talk to you, Shirley. You have so many interesting stories, and you and I are in that like news realm that, hey, we got to get the next news, the next interesting thing, things like that. Do you have any other projects currently going on, Shirley, that would you like to promote, especially with you being more than just an author in so many ways? Is there anything else you have anything to promote on the air?
Well, you know what, Neil? I am a huge education advocate. I like to encourage students to go as far as they can in terms of their educational career. And I always tell people, because we go out as journalists and we talk with students from elementary through high school, and then on sometimes we go out and we talk with college students, and I always like to tell students, pursue your education. Go as far as you can. And they always want to know, well, what's the secret to being a success? Well, as far as I'm concerned, there really is no secret, but I do believe strongly in the value of education. And I do believe that in so many cases, it can be your ticket out of poverty. It can change your life. It can make a big difference in your life. So you have to have that education, I think, if you are to be successful. And if that's the secret, well, there it is. Get an education.
Absolutely. And that's a great point to finish the show. And that just shows, again, what you've learned as a journalist, Shirley, how you've dealt with different things and you've seen the real world and how the real world works. And if education's not here, we're not going to continue to grow as a society and move forward to the 21st century in so many ways.